So we are going to start at verse 4. We're going to start at verse 21. A lamp on a stand. I'm reading from the NIV. Listen for the word of the Lord. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I have read this passage, I can't even count how many times. I've heard it preached numerous times, and I'm sure probably each of you have. And what I love about Scripture is that when we open Scripture, there's new things to be found, new nuggets, like little treasures that we can dig out of it. And one of the things as I was getting into this and as I was reading it that just popped off the page to me that I really hadn't thought about before was verse 22. "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." And it jumped out at me because we all are hiding something, right? Dylan alluded to it a little bit when he was up there. We're all hiding something in here. And what we're hiding, it can't be hidden. You can't hide it from God. It is meant to come out of you so that it can be dealt with. It's meant to be brought out into the light so that it can be dealt with. Whether it be, we all harbor, I'm guessing probably pretty much everyone here in this room harbors, has dealt with shame, just self-loathing or guilt, or maybe even a hidden sin that you're something that's happening where you think nobody knows about it, but God knows what is in you. God knows what's in there. And he says in verse, he says to consider carefully what you hear. And then in verse 23 before that, if anyone has ears, let him hear. So if you have ears, you better be listening. Listen to this. This is important that you hear this. Listen to this because you're going to be held accountable. Even if you're hiding something, whatever it may be, you are going to be held accountable for what you're hiding. You're not going to get away with anything. And what you hear, what you know, what you do is going to come to light. So the question that kind of came to mind is, is life too busy and loud that God is being stifled? We live in a world that is busy, busy, busy. There's always so much. We're running from here to there. Like, life was so much simpler, I think, you know, when I was younger, like 20-some-odd years ago. It was so much simpler. We didn't have cell phones and internet, and you'd go away and you'd come home and you'd see your answering machine if you were lucky enough to have one, if somebody left you a message, and then you'd call them back when you felt like it. Like, we are so connected, and it's hard to hear. And so things get in the way, and God is stifled. We don't hear him. We don't see him. Yet there's this sense in this passage that no one or nothing is going to thwart your purpose. Each and every one of you here in this room has a purpose. God has a plan for you. He has something for you. There is no breakup too bad, no betrayal that cuts too deep, or there's nothing that's going to get in the way of God's purpose for you, because he's been, as that song said, chasing you since the beginning of the world. He loves you, and he's going to get you. Maybe not. Don't say that to your kids. That might scare them a little bit. But so what? Because the Scripture tells us that God promises that what he has started in you, he will finish. So when you become a believer, whatever has been started in you, it's going to be seen to fruition. So whatever is in the way or whatever gets in the way, that's not that. It's going to be finished. It's going to happen. And Some of your greatest mistakes are going to be the seeds that are going to lead you to your greatest victory. My testimony and my past shows a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of betrayal, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of self-loathing, all those things that I said. That's my past. But yet God has used each and every one of those things for what I feel is an amazing victory, which is that I'm standing here right now. And this is just the beginning of what is to happen. I think that if life where I am right now, and I've said this before, and I don't know if I've said it here, but for Christians, like, this is the worst that it's going to get, right? We got nothing but better things coming. But for those who don't know Jesus, and for those who are lost, this is as good as it's going to get. And that's a little bit scary. And that should break your heart for the things of God. Because if this is the best that it's going to get for some folks, then, oh man, that's not that we won't. That's a rabbit trail. We won't go down that one. But so God is always here, even though we don't see him. Like, he doesn't leave. He says, "I will not leave you or forsake you." He is with you, even in the midst of the mess. He is there. And something will come out of your pain. Something will come out of your struggle. There's something that's going to come out of that. And we should look for the joy in our situations. The gospel is really pretty simple. In this text is evidence that the gospel is really pretty simple. Darkness doesn't influence light. Darkness has to flee when light walks in. And you are a carrier of the light. And when you walk into a room, darkness has to flee that room because it pierces through it and it doesn't exist. So it's, if you're not seeing the light, and this is going to sound really harsh, but it's true. If you're not seeing God in the midst of it's the basket on your head that's the problem. You are hiding it. That's the problem. That darkness isn't the issue. It's the one who turned off the light that's the issue. You're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. You're a beacon. This is in Scripture. So if it's God's word, if we believe God's word is true, then we have to know that this is true. That if your light isn't shining, it's because of you. It's because of your attitude. It's because of the way that you're choosing to look at the situation. And I'm not trying to be hard on you, because these are all, I'm preaching to myself. Like, I have days that I have to remind myself of this. I have pity parties, and I have bad days, and I have days that ministry's not easy. There's people who irritate me to no end. If I'm being honest, in those days, I'd say, okay, why is it dark? It's because I'm small. I've turned off the light, and I'm choosing the darkness. We are called to pull down the strongholds everywhere that we go, and we should take every thought that we have captive. Every negative thought, take it captive and don't let it go anywhere else. And it took me, I just had my 46th birthday on Friday. And 46 years young. Yeah, you know. And it took me a long time to get to the point to realize that life is not fun if you are not walking with the Holy Spirit. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit, wow, like, life is finally fun. And our joy comes from our salvation. It should be coming from our salvation. It shouldn't come from our jobs. It shouldn't come from our family or our relationships or our vacations. We live, though, often like that's where we find joy. Like, and it's temporary and it's fleeting. You can go on a great vacation, but then you come home and you're tired and you need to rest from your vacation, and then you're complaining because you're tired because you were on vacation, and, oh, I don't want to go back to work, right? But yet work is your missionary field. Your homes are your missionary field, because you are the light of the world. When you walk into your work, no matter how much you don't like being there, the darkness has to flee when you walk over the threshold of that door. And that's good. That's good. So if we change the perspective of the way that we look at light or life, and we focus on the fact that we are light bearers, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, everything in your life will shift and everything in your life will change, and you won't be shaken and you won't be rocked. You'll have rough days, but the next day is a new day and it's better. Negativity is a demonic strategy. It really is. It's designed to crush you, and it's designed to make you think that life isn't worth it. And I've come to this epiphany not long ago. We were at a discipleship retreat type thing, and I had Facebook on my phone and Messenger on my phone. And there would be times when I didn't really try not to look at it, but it would, you know, pop up and I got a message from my sister, and I'd go look. And then an hour later, I'm just looking, you know, scrolling through everybody's junk and everybody's drama. And I would walk away from, I just set my phone down, and I would feel anxiety. I would just feel blah. I'd feel icky, and I would feel like just so downcast. And so it's hard to look, because people complain a lot on there. Like, you can use it for good, but oh my goodness, it's like people use that, like they live their lives on that thing. And then so I'm asking God, why do I feel it so? And it was tapping into some of my insecurities too. When I'm looking at people's relationships where, you know, women, you know, they've been cheated on and they've been hurt, or people are doing this and she did this to me. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when that, and I start remembering all the bad things that have happened to me in my life. And then I feel, it just pulls me down. And that's why I say negativity is a demonic strategy, because Satan is envious, and the wisdom of the world is sensual. The wisdom of the world is demonic, and it's full of envy, and it's very me focused. And so after my epiphany, I still have Facebook and Messenger on my phone, but I've shut off all notifications. So now I don't get anything popping up saying I'm getting anything. So I have to intentionally, if I have time that I want to burn, I have to intentionally sit down and open it up and look. So I'm controlling it now. It's not controlling me anymore. And so I, like I said, the wisdom of the world is sensual and it's demonic. Satan is very crafty, and he wants us to, but he doesn't have any authority. You have authority over the darkness. And if you are in a place where you're not satisfied with God, who God created you to be, then you're going to need the praise of people in order for you to feel good. And if the praise of people isn't what's motivating you, then when people criticize you, you are going to be crushed, because you don't know who you really are or whose you really are. When you know your identity, there is nobody that can rock your world except for him. And this is the one thing I want you to take away from here. You were created to be supernatural. As Dylan was saying, you know, we were created to be supernatural. We were created to have this relationship with God, and that relationship was broken. You were created to have heaven flowing through you constantly. And that's why Jesus came. He came to restore that. He gave us the Holy Spirit. So if you are a Christian and you are a believer, you have heaven flowing through you constantly. You are a light bearer. We are called to be so heavenly minded that you are earthly incredible. So I want you to look for opportunities to be the light. Look for opportunities in your home. Look for opportunities in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids or your grandkids, in your work, or wherever it is that you may go. Look for opportunities to be the light. And if you notice yourself slipping a little bit, ask yourself, why am I slipping? Am I putting a bowl over my head? You're not meant to walk in the darkness. You're meant to bring the light in everywhere you go. Every step you take, you are claiming that land for Jesus. You are the kingdom of God. Go out and have a kingdom mentality. Think with a heaven mentality and not a worldly mentality. So, because we're in Mark 4, and it's way too much to go through in just this amount of time, I'm going to jump forward into Mark 4, 35, and we're just going to talk about this little snippet here, 35 through 41, because they go together. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." He was like, "Come on, guys. Let's go on a trip." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." It's the word of the Lord. So, one thing I think that we have to remember here, when it's easy to kind of beat up on them and say, you know, they say, "Who is this?" They weren't believers when Jesus came along and called them. They grew in their faith. They grew over the 3 years that they spent with him. They learned about who he was, and they were being molded and they were being shaped, just like us. You know, you ever hear, like, I don't like using the word baby Christians, but, you know, you're a baby in the beginning and you're kind of fed milk and then you grow and you start to chew on the word and you grow and you grow and you grow. It's no different with us. And I think, and there's evidence of that, is because when life sometimes feels like a furious squall and the waves are breaking over into your boat and you feel like you're drowning, have you ever asked God, "Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm drowning? Don't you care that I'm about to die?" Because there's things that happen in life and we do feel like we're dying. It hurts. Life hurts. Don't you care? And I say that, like, even in the midst of those moments, we are no different than the disciples. Jesus is here, resting among us. Through the Holy Spirit is here. But instead of sleeping in the stern of a boat, he's in here, living in you. So when you say, "Don't you care?" Call upon him. Call upon him and awaken that light that is within you. And let him fill you and let him minister to you, because he does care, because he's right here. I hope that's helpful. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to have a song of response. So if the band wants to come up and get start prepping for that. But during the time of prayer, I'm going to leave a little bit of time of silence for you to kind of wrestle with God a little bit and to ask him. If you're feeling like, "Don't you care?" He already knows you feel that way. Don't be afraid to say it. It's about relationship, not religion. This is about relationship. It's about talking to your daddy, talking to your father. And during that time, I ask him too, is there anything that in your life that's too busy or too loud that maybe you need to silence or you need to turn down? Is there anything that you need that he's asking you to repent of, that he's asking you to give over to him? Maybe it's a relationship or a friendship, or you're trusting in him for, I have a sense there's somebody here who I don't know, that you're praying for a child who you feel is lost. And maybe you're believing in him to bring your child back, to bring that one back into the 99. Give it to him and lay it at his feet. It's not your burden to carry. It's not yours to carry. We are called to live free and to not be shackled to the things of this world. So during that time of silence, and it may feel a little awkward for some of you, but just ask him to talk, say, I want to hear your voice. And let him speak to you. Talk to your Father. Listen to your Father. And then I'll break in and finish the prayer, and then we'll go into the song of response. Sound good? All right. Father God, we confess that, you know more than anybody that we're not perfect. That's why we need Jesus, because we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus because if we're left to our own devices, and we'll just make a mess of everything. So, Father, we confess too that this life that you have blessed us with, that sometimes we get lost in the midst of it. We're maybe carrying some shame or some guilt or wrestling with some hidden sins. And we know that we're not meant to carry that. So, Father, we want to be cleansed of those things because we want to experience the full light that is the Holy Spirit. Help us to be able, just lead us to a place to be able to lift the bowls off our heads and to be able to live freely and boldly in your presence. So, Father, in the silence, hear the prayers of your people. Hear the cries of your people. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Lord, those things that have been laid at your feet, they are yours. We give them over to you, and we ask that you remove them from this place. And give us the courage to not pick them back up again, but to be able just to rest and trust, knowing that you are in control. Bring us to a place where we can be satisfied with who you've created us to be. To a place where we can love one another and live into the Shema that we said earlier at the beginning of this service. To love others and to love you and only put you first, because you are the one true God. So, Father, we also pray for those that are here who are wrestling with spiritual issues, but also for those who are in need of healing. You are a God who heals his people. So we pray in the name of Jesus for those who are hurting. Father, touch them with your healing hand. You are the great physician. In Jesus' name, we pray for healing. And Lord, give us opportunities too, as we leave this place, give us opportunities to be the light, to love on others, and to just everywhere we go, and give us just the vision to see that when we walk into a room, that darkness flees because it has no place there. Thank you so much for what you're about to do. Equip us, guide us, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you say that? Thank God I'm broken. Yeah. Have you ever thought about the fact that God loves you even though you're broken? He loves your brokenness. He loves you for exactly who you are. And if you don't feel that, and if you're carrying any weight and any shame, or that is not from Him. That is straight from the pit of hell. So if you're broken today, thank God for it and give it to Him, and He's going to do some amazing things out of your brokenness. Each and every person here, as Dylan kind of alluded to, we have all got stories of brokenness that God has redeemed and is continuing to redeem in each and every one of us here. Amen? All right. So as you leave this place, and you let your little light shine, but it's not a little light. That's a big light you got in you. So everywhere you go, you just stomp hell everywhere you go. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may He turn His face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my brothers and sisters. Go in peace. Amen.